What's going on? What's going on? This is Alex Pardo, and you are listening to another episode of the Flip Empire Show, episode 208.
Welcome to the Flip Empire Show, bringing you the interviews, strategies, and insights for smart real estate investors. Prepare to dive into the minds of real estate's heavy hitters and gain the cutting-edge expertise you need to scale and grow your real estate empire. Your success and freedom starts now with your host, Alex Pardo.
Hey, my friends, what's going on? Hope you are doing amazing today. And guys, I got a kick-ass podcast interview here with my boy, the DM, the deal maker, Mark Evans. You guys, if you don't know anything about Mark, you know, my intro here probably isn't going to do him any justice, but long story short, you know, Mark is about to turn 40 years old. He's got a 7- and 8-figure business. He traveled the world with his wife for about 7, 8, maybe 9 years. And he is just truly, he lives that lifestyle that a lot of people see. And, you know, it's interesting because there's a lot of people out in social media that portray that lifestyle, but Mark is somebody who actually lives it. But that's not what's impressive to me about him. What's impressive to me about Mark is, you guys will hear me talk about this with him, is every time I connect with him, I feel like I get smarter, I get sharper, I get wiser. He challenges my thinking. And this particular episode that I did with him is no different. It's the second time having him on the show. I had him on episode 76, which you guys can check out. And, you know, we're going to talk a lot about, you know, just one of the projects he has going on right now that I think is really going to resonate with you and can have a big impact on your life. You know, him and I were just talking offline. And like I said, every single time I talk to this dude, I get a new nugget. I get something I'm thinking about different. He's always planting seeds and he pays it forward, you know. And so, you know, having said that, I don't want to take any more of his thunder, guys. I'm excited about the show. I know you're going to get a lot out of it. So let's jump right into it. Mark, what's up, brother? How are you, man?
I'm doing amazing, Alex. How are you, my man?
Dude, I am so pumped and excited. This is our second time having you on. And dude, I just want to kind of, I've told you this before in private conversations. And, you know, now that, you know, we're recording a podcast and everyone's hearing this, I just kind of wanted to acknowledge you, man. You're someone who, you know, I've come to get to know pretty well over the course of the last year and a half, 2 years. Someone I consider a friend. And dude, every single time, like without fail, I think I shared this with you about a week or so ago. Every time I talk to you, I feel like I hang up that phone thinking slightly different and a lot bigger. Awesome. And that's just one of those things that I just want to acknowledge you for and just all the work you're doing in the community and someone that's leading by example, which is the opposite of what I see a lot of people out there doing. You know, they kind of bluster and, you know, peacock on social media, but when it gets kind of down to it, they're not really doing a whole lot. And you're one of those people that have definitely separated yourselves from the pack. Not just by what you do, but just, you know, the impact you've had on a lot of people's lives, including my own. So before we kind of get into the podcast, man, I just wanted to acknowledge and thank you for that.
No, man, I appreciate you saying that. I think I know some of the people you're talking about. I see the same thing. It's like they almost work harder not doing it than actually doing the work. You know, but no, that's huge. I mean, that's the ultimate goal is help people get it more, guys like yourself. So I love it, man. Appreciate the kind words.
That's right. So guys, if you haven't, I want to encourage you, if you haven't already heard the first time that we had Mark Evans on the podcast, all you got to do is go to flipempire.com/episode76. Great conversation. One of my favorite podcast interviews that I've done. So go back and check that out. And guys, this one is really all about, you know, Mark has published 8 books now, multimillionaire, super successful, runs a couple different, you know, highly successful businesses. He's out there, you know, he's got his own high level mastermind. There's so much that he's accomplished at such a young age. And, you know, he had his son, you know, baby DM a couple years ago. Mark, how old is baby DM now?
August, he'll be the big three.
The big three. So my daughter just turned 3 and yours is like right behind. It's crazy how time flies, right?
Yes, it is. I was getting ready to send her a bunch of ice cream at night when I saw you post that. So
there you go, man. So yeah, guys, I mean, you know, having kids for the parents listening, you guys know that when you have a child, it changes. Not only does life get better, but you have a whole new outlook, right? Your perspective changes, your why becomes so much bigger. And one of the things that I've been kind of following Mark do for the last several months here is working on his, your 9th book, right, Mark?
Yeah, book number 9, absolutely.
Yeah, so book number 9, and it's called The 10-Minute Business Owner. And guys, I think this is going to have a huge, profound impact, not only in your business, but on your personal life. Like I said, every time I talk to Mark, I think differently. And just kind of prepping for this podcast, there's several things that we want to touch on here. So Mark, just kind of starting from the top, man, The 10-Minute Business Owner, talk to me about like how this relates to the people listening in right now.
Well, I mean, at the end of the day, you know, 10-minute business owner is kind of like a cast your vision. So I love to travel. My wife and I traveled around the world for 7 years, right? And what it kind of did is it forced me to stop micromanaging. It forced me to become a business owner, not just a day-to-day grinder. Lots of people we know are make a decent amount of money, if not a lot of money, but yet every single thing hinges on them. And listen, it's great when it's great. It's really bad when it's bad.
Right.
So I had this concept of, I started creating the power of constraints, and kind of think of anybody, you know, everyday person, like, hey, I'm going to go on vacation. We wait until last minute, and then we get more done in the last 2 days before we leave than we did for the 2 months we prepared.
Yeah.
So for me, it's like, you know, how can I run a business on 10 minutes a day? Not every day's 10 minutes, but like, that's the goal. And it's working on the business, not necessarily in the business. Mm-hmm. So when we cast a bigger, I think so many people, including myself, is thinking so small, right? So like when it's like, oh my God, instead of asking, how do I create a 10-minute day? The real question we ask ourselves is, who do we put in place to help me allow the 10-minute day to be a reality? Right? So when we stop focusing on the how and start focusing on the who that can help us create the how, all these things, like we become a higher level business owner.
Yeah,
you know, Bill Gates isn't sitting around saying, how do I raise lots of money? He's asking, who do I put in place that has a big voice, that has the infrastructure to allow us to raise a lot of money to blah, 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 blah. Mm-hmm. And then he goes, seeks the high level how, the who, to ultimately implement the who, the how. Yeah. The so who's in the house.
Yeah, right, yeah. Right. So man, you know, two things listening to you here, Mark, two things come to mind. Number one, I think when it comes to hiring and building a team, a lot of people see it as an expense and not an investment. Right. And I think that's the kind of small thinking that just holds people back. And number two, it's you know, I've been there, man. Like I've been there where it's like you're kind of scared to grow. I don't know if it's a fear of failure for some people, if it's a fear of succeeding for others. But ultimately, like, why is it that you think that people have such a challenge with, you know, putting the right people in place? Because, you know, man, it, just being transparent, I've had my growing pains. Like I've hired the wrong people, and it's a painful experience because you invest so much time, energy, and money into
right.
You know, and so talk a little bit about just ensuring that you put the right people in place, because I think you're 100% spot on. You know, I've always said, if you ask yourself better questions, you're going to get better answers.
Right.
So what's the advice or feedback you have for those people that, you know, are growing a team, they're hiring, but they just have a lot of like growing pains in that process?
Well, you said it. I mean, we've all been there, right? First and foremost, but let's kind of paint the picture a little different. Like everyone here listening has had a different girlfriend or boyfriend before they got married, right? Mm-hmm. Probably multiple. Just because we had a failure in a relationship for whatever reason doesn't mean we're losers and failures and we're going to stop, you know, chasing the dream of getting married and having a kid and leaving it, have an amazing life. In business is a little different because we don't have really that person showing us that path. In life, it's everywhere, right? You can go anywhere. Someone's together, holding hands, kissing, talking, whatever. So for us, is like, I look at it as like, you know, everyone always talks like hire slow, fire fast. We've all heard that, right?
Mm-hmm.
To me, from my experience, entrepreneurs do the exact opposite. To, you know, I'm very emotional. I love the people I hire and put on the team. So I usually hire really fast and I fire really slow. So I'm always very conscious of that. So now the new, like I really started transitioning and saying, hey, the reality of the situation is, how do I hire fast and fire fast? Right? So I'm going to mess it up. Why? Because I don't know what I'm doing 99% of the time. But the key is a lot of things is, number one, what's your first hire? We talk about that in the 10-minute business owner. If it should be an assistant. If you can't manage an assistant, you can't manage anything. It's very, like, it's not hard to manage an assistant. That's just day-to-day tasks. You're already doing them already, just haphazardly, blah, 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 blah. So one, hire that person. Two, write a job description. Don't throw up on them. Give them 10 ultimate tasks that you'd like off your plate today. Yeah. Let them work their way into it. And again, this is hard for everyone to listen to if you're an entrepreneur, is be patient. Because, you know, look how long it took you to get to where you're at and then make that hire. And then the fear of growing, you talked about that piece too. Honestly, man, it's just the cost of doing business.
Yeah.
I can tell you for sure. I know factually, if you invest the time and energy and kiss a lot of frogs to get to where you want, you're going to get that COO, you're going to get that CFO, you're going to get the salespeople, you're going to build a team. And it's not about making it big and clunky just to be big, but like, where are you the most productive in your environment?
That's right. That's right. Yeah. And I think alongside that, you know, something I'll piggyback, Mark, and you know, you tell me if you agree or disagree. It's ultimately, and this sounds very obvious, but yet I talk to so many people and they just, you ask them a simple question, they don't have the answers. You have to get clear on what you want, why you want it, and why does your business exist? You know, right. Like, what are your core values? What's your purpose? Like, what is it that you're ultimately trying to accomplish? If it's just about money, that's fine. And you can make a lot of money in this business, but I don't know. The longer I'm in business and, you know, I haven't been in business that long, 12, 13 years, you know, I feel like I'm learning so much. I feel like just I'm in the infancy stages. The longer I'm in business, the more I know I don't know. And that I need to just seek out higher level people and just get even more clear on what it is that, what purpose does the business serve and why? I think when you can attach something greater than money, I think those are the businesses that are just sustainable and last longer. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, no, listen, I love it. I think there's a real simple quote to this. The real question, once you start developing and understanding that this is a real business in life, right? Like there's, you can actually make money. Until you make the switch of asking this one question, nothing will change. And the question is very powerful, but simple. Ask the question, what can the business do for me? Not what can I do for the business? Right? So then we start, again, I get goosebumps even saying it. Then we can retract from it, sit on top of it, and then now let the business make the decisions. And this is where data, not drama, comes in. Because when we're so deep in the business, right, it's very, you can never see yourself in the picture from inside of the picture.
Right.
You got to step out to see it, to put it in the frame and the perspective, et cetera. So for us, like how, I'm always trying to figure out how to take the emotional aspect out of a lot of these pieces because I'm an emotional creature and, you know, I make bad decisions with emotions. So i.e. keeping people too long or, you know, whatever. So what can the business do for me? That's that. I started asking that myself that many years ago and it really just changed the game for me.
Yeah. And man, I've witnessed it. You probably don't know. I mean, obviously, you know that I've been to your office, you know, I've been to your, you know, to your event and I see how you treat your team. You know, I see how they're drawn to you and how you take care of them. Right. And it's, you genuinely can tell, at least from my perspective, man, that you care. You know, sure. It's not, you don't see them as an employee. They're a team member. They're part of the family. And you know, one of the things I've heard you say on social media is you're constantly thinking about what can you do for them? How can you empower them? How can you give them the tools to succeed?
Right.
And dude, I think that's part of the reason, you know, you have seven-figure businesses, possibly eight, I don't even know, but very successful businesses.
Yeah. I mean, they, you know, one produces eight figures, another produces seven. But for us, you know, again, exactly what you're saying. I used to, back in the day when I was an immature business wannabe owner, I would ask myself, how can I squeeze as much as out of the people by paying them the least amount? Right. I lost a lot of amazing people like that. People, you know, they should still be around. Unfortunately, there's casualties in business that happens. And you either learn from it or you don't. I learned from it. So when I started asking myself, how can I grow something that's actually, because again, once you get to a certain amount of money, right, it's just money. I always, you know, obviously in business, we're in to make money, but I'm not, I don't wake up to make money. I wake up to like serve my team, do stuff like what we're doing right now here on podcast shows to share the message of an awesome, you know, business, et cetera. Mm-hmm. But when you wake up, like I work for them, they don't work for me is how I really do feel that way. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think about how can I take my leadership knowledge, my 22 years experience, and then give them the tools to be more successful. And, you know, maybe they'll leave me, maybe they won't. I'm not worried about that. I'm more worried about how can I help them grow as an individual and create, you know, just like that, that's our culture. That goes, by the way, that goes from top down. That goes in every single level. Our assistant is our number one acquisitions person. You know, we have people, like our assistant loves what she does. Like people love their jobs. And that's what I like.
And you can tell, by the way, from my perspective, when I was there and I spent 2 days there, you can tell people are just, it's a fun culture. And you've created it that way purposefully. It didn't happen like by just coincidence or by chance, you know?
Yeah, 100%. I mean, Alex, just to be clear. So like if the listeners are thinking everything's unicorn and rainbows, which it's not always, but guys, I mean, you know, recently, like, you know, probably my biggest frustration is knowing we have a talent on our team and they play at elementary levels often. And, you know, it's all of us, including myself as an entrepreneurial leader. Like I'm very conscious and aware of me playing small, right? So picture people in different stages or different levels of the game with us where they're at. So what drives me bananas is seeing someone that's at 50% knowing, and I know deep down inside that they're playing to survive, not playing to win. Hmm. You know, so that I'm very, very, very ultra conscious of that with my team now.
So how much time do you spend? You know, I remember this was probably about a year or so ago. You and I did one of your Rolling with the DM episodes and we started talking. You were asking me about, you know, what books I read. And I think that's one of the things that we just connected with is that I don't spend very little time, if any, you know, consuming the X's and O's of, you know, the latest and greatest strategy of how to buy this property or how to do this. It's more about, you know, business, leadership, marketing. Every time I like pick up and read one of those books, whether it's marketing or how to be a better leader, personal development, I just feel like I'm growing versus spending time, which it's great to learn, like, you know, a new way to do deals or this or that. But do you find yourself that you just spend more time on that side of the equation so that then you can kind of, you know, pass it along and act as a funnel to the rest of your team?
Yeah. I mean, in all honesty, dude, I can't even remember the last time I read a real estate book on investing. I mean, at the end of the day, it's fun. I mean, it's dribbling the ball. Do you really need to read a book on how to dribble the ball? Real estate's easy. What you need to learn is how to, like, you know, dribble the ball efficiently, effectively, be able to pass accordingly, be able to block, be able to, like, to me, it's like building the team, leader, drive, motivation, et cetera. Mm-hmm. So I mean, every single book is going to be about marketing, mindset, financial knowledge, awareness, leadership, KPI development, business dev. I don't even think I have one book in my office, my home office, or anything like that that's around me ever that's a real estate investing book.
Yeah, right. And so, you know, you kind of touched on it. You know, one of the things I've always, you know, I've gotten from you is you talk about data, not drama.
Yeah.
Expand on that a little bit. Cause we, I mean, a lot of people listening to the show, they've heard me talk about key performance indicators. KPIs is like the buzz acronym. Like everybody out there talks about KPIs, but I don't see a whole lot of people like taking it to the level that you do. I know you do a weekly, I think it's, no, I'm not sorry, not a weekly, daily.
Daily,
what, 15-minute huddle with your team? Can you just talk about data, not drama, and you know, how you've how that's kind of infiltrated your team and your culture and how you guys use that data?
Yeah, absolutely. So we do a 10-minute call every day with the team and they come in with their KPIs. Truth is the call is like 5 minutes, typically 5 to 10 minutes. So to me, like what happens is, guys, in business and life, we all have drama, right? And as we all know, everyone's drama is not someone else's drama, right? Bigger problems, you know, someone's like, oh my gosh, my cat's sick. They might think it's the end of the world. I might think, well, take them to the vet and get them fixed and let's get back to work. You know, it's not a big deal. Yeah. So data, not drama. Like, it's very hard, again, in a day-to-day, there's so much stuff going on. All I care about, how many calls did you make? How many conversations did you have? How many contracts did you get out? And how many deals did we close?
Yeah.
Everything else is in between is, you know, I always say, give me the baby, not the baby pains.
Right.
I want the results. We all have everything in between. I don't care if you work 1 hour a day or 100 hours a day. If you're hitting your numbers and you're hitting your goals and all that, one, I'd be asking yourself, well, how do we do more to help you grow? Secondly, at the end of the day, no one cares where you're at. No one cares. Like, that's more self-inflicted and it's very ego-driven. So data doesn't lie. Drama lies to all of us.
Yeah. What challenges have you had with this piece as it relates to your team? I mean, I'm sure there's times where you've jumped on the call that maybe a team member... Has it ever happened where a team member either doesn't have the KPIs or the KPIs they have, you know, aren't
all the time
or your targets? And then how do you manage that? Because some people might be thinking, how do you have a 5 to 10 minute meeting with your team every day and kind of, you know, not just dribble the ball, but pass, block, dunk, et cetera, to use that basketball analogy?
Yeah. So just to be clear, the 10-minute meeting is meant to be more of a high level KPI progress report, if you will. You know, these are the things that are like, hey, this is where I'm at. So picture you're on an island and you only have 10 minutes a day to talk to your team with a global phone. Who do you talk and what are you talking about? Yep. So I'm using it more for an anxiety factor for me, knowing that buys are happening, sells are happening, teams are organizing and talking. It's really a checkpoint communication tool. Not to say when they hang up, I personally don't manage those pieces at all. I have a COO that does that. And secondly, what happens is, you know, the team goes offline. So acquisitions might get with dispositions and, you know, have a conversation. Now, with that said, though, again, like, dude, it's a real life business. You're dealing with humans and they have problems sometimes. Mm-hmm. So, you know, there's team members that will come on there half-assed and they're like, oh, yeah, man, you know, I was busy. But I'm like, well, first of all, we do the call at 10 o'clock in the morning. So there's no excuse not to be prepared. Yeah. And, you know, so again, that's when I kind of know when people are about to be derailed in the company. I'm going to have a quick call with them and say, hey, what's up? Are you on the team or off the team? I'm cool either way. I'm just calling you because I care. I'm the type of guy, Alex, if I go silent on you, that's when you're in trouble. That's when I'm plotting to fire you.
I get that.
So as opposed to like me calling you up, not calling you out, but calling, and I'm not trying to be right or wrong. I'm just trying to help. Like, hey, I'm here to help you. Tell me what the hell's going on now. Like, mm-hmm. what's up? And when you do that, you actually kind of, you just put a line in the sand and you figure it out. And this is something that I had to develop, obviously. This isn't something I just woke up and did. But, you know, as you do that, what you find is you gain a lot more respect and for yourself and others around you.
Right, right. Yeah. And, you know, to kind of add to what you're saying, one of the things, guys, for those of you listening, so last year, Eric Stark and I, we hosted a one-day mastermind where the proceeds went to charity. And we had Mark. Mark came in and not only was he somebody that just donated money, but donated time. And you know, Mark, you probably spoke to us for 30, 45 minutes. I got pages of notes of just things that I jotted down that you said. One of the things, one of the questions that came up multiple times and were kind of tossed at you is people were having challenge with turnover on their team. And several people were asking you, how do you hold people accountable? And you said something that you probably didn't even realize, at least to me, it might sound very just plain Jane or just, hey, everybody knows that. But maybe it was the timing of it. You said, hire people that hold themselves accountable. I think those were the exact words you used. Can you like elaborate on that? Because at the time for me, that was kind of one of the pain points that I had with a particular team member. And I realized I hired the wrong person. This was someone that needed me to hold them accountable. They weren't willing to hold themselves accountable.
Yeah, you know, I wish I could take credit for that. I mean, we hire a lot of people in my company to help us grow, right? So this is actually a COO coach. His name's Cameron. So I was having a conversation with him. I'm like, man, you know, this is a while, long time, decent amount of time ago. I was like, Cameron, like, how do we really like, here's my frustrations. You know, we have great people, but yet there's an accountability issue. What's going on? He's like, it's simple, hire accountable people. Hmm. And then once it hit me and I realized it, that became a core value of our company. Must be accountable. Must be, you know, like, and when you do that, like now all of a sudden, like non-accountable people is not stepping up to the gate because they're not accepting responsibility.
Yeah.
So a simple way to tell guys, and if you're listening and you're, you know, for hiring, is are they excuse makers? Are they blaming other people? If they do either or, they're not accountable. Because accountable people is like, yo, that was on me. It sucked. Right. I wish XYZ would have happened, but I take full responsibility. If anyone ever says that to you, hire them immediately.
That's right.
Because that shows you that they actually care and they, you know, they're accountable.
Yeah. You got to take ownership. Mistakes are going to happen all the time. I'm grateful when someone drops the ball and they came to me and said, hey, that's on me. How do we make it right? Or not how do we make it right, but hey, here are some things I've thought of to make this right. And I got this. Like, I don't care what mistake it was. Like, I just feel so much better than when someone says, oh, but this, oh, but that. And it's like, it instantly changes my state, right? And I can control that feeling, but it's a different conversation when no matter how big a mistake it is, when someone comes and says, hey, that's my bad. I got this, right?
Yeah. I mean, listen, first of all, we're all making mistakes. You're making a mistake or you're making a mistake by not making a mistake, right? I swear to you, I just had this conversation today earlier where I literally, about one of my CFOs in one of our companies. I was like, dude, he never makes a mistake ever. That scares me. Scares me to death. It slows us down. It becomes like, you know, what is he? Why is he not? Why is he afraid to mess up? I get it. But like, to me, like our world, like I don't mind mistakes. Mistakes are what made me, right? My mess is my message. It drives me forward. So mistakes are, they have to happen. And, you know, because we're moving. Mm-hmm. I don't see mistakes as a bad thing. I see it as a growth thing, like you said. And if they ever, I don't even know, I might start kissing someone if they came to me and accept responsibility for making the mistake and addressing it, and then we make it better. Like, that's how we learn.
That's right. That's how you grow. You know, if you're not making mistakes, you're just not doing enough.
Yep, exactly.
Right, right. So, man, a couple of the things that you mentioned at that particular holiday mastermind, I know this is something that you've talked about in your deal-a-thons as well, is, you know, talk to me a little bit about paying yourself, right? Because I think that's an area that a lot of people kind of drop the ball.
Yeah, you got to pay yourself. So it took me many, many years to understand what I'm about to share with you guys. So I don't want to keep it lighter than it is, but it's really simple on the surface level, but mentally it's really hard. So as I was building my business, I used my business account as my personal piggy bank account. So what happens with that is two things. One, you have money or don't have money. It's pretty much a given. And then the second side of that is riding the financial roller coaster together. There's nothing wrong with having money in and out and all that, but once I started asking myself, how do I separate the emotional attachment from business and personal, it allowed me to kind of get tight. It didn't allow me, kind of. It got me so much tighter and more excited to wake up to make more money for the company. And now all of a sudden, like if my company makes more money, Alex, in the real estate, I don't make any more money necessarily personally. The company makes more. I don't. You know, so to me, it's like, I can't wait to wake up to make money, because it's like, dude, I'm you know, I'm not keeping score. I'm just growing and learning and driving and watching it happen. And it's scary. Maybe the mindset of me, I thought I was stealing from my company if I took a weekly salary or a monthly salary of $1,000 a month. Start off small and then get used to the comfortability. Never unplug it ever. From this point forward, you don't stop paying yourself. If you're in business and can't pay yourself, well, you're not in business, period. You have a job and you're just, you know, riding it. So I would definitely, it's something I have so many people that's fought, and once they do it, it's like a game changer.
So Mark, let me ask you this. So somebody listening in, let's just pick a number. Let's say it's, you know, somebody has $10,000 in household expenses, personal, we're not talking business here.
Sure.
They really pay themselves. They use their business bank account as a piggy bank. They draw from it when they need it. Is it as simple as, like, if somebody, let's just say, needs 10 grand a month to live, right? To take care of the family, the food, the kids' education, everything, right? Their mortgage, whatever. Is it as simple as just, like, how do you recommend that person now pay themselves? Is it as simple as saying, okay, well, based on my household expenses, the business would have to provide me a salary of 120 grand a year? Or, like, what are your thoughts? Because I'm just kind of trying to put myself in the shoes of somebody listening. Okay, well, I'm that person. I'm guilty. I use my business account as a piggy bank. How do I put myself on a simple salary that takes care of my household needs?
Well, initially, you might not take care of your household needs, right? So first of all, you're taking care of them somewhere anyways. Uh-huh. It's just probably a lot looser, and you're doing it the 11th hour, not on purpose. You're kind of doing it just, you know, barely saving the day, kind of Superman effect. So start small. I mean, I think the key is too, there's different types of income, right? W-2, and you could do distribution income. So there's different sides of that. So maybe you want to just do $1,000 a month just to get the wheels started and churning, then get to $2,000 a month, and then you're doing your draws as well at the end of the month of where you need to be, or weekly, or however you pay yourself.
Yep.
But ease your way into it. I think if you go cold turkey, unless you have the amount of money sitting in your account, you might go out in freak out mode. But what happens too, Alex, is what's amazing is both accounts start growing. From my experience, I've never not talked to someone that they said when they start pulling money out, 3, 4, 5 months later, both accounts are growing together.
Yeah.
So you're making more money. You have more money available. If you're in real estate or other businesses, you can always loan money from personal to business if you need it, worst case scenario. So it's a powerful, powerful way to keep going.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you find that sometimes people just take it in the opposite direction and they just siphon so much money out of the business that they strangle the business and the business can't grow?
Oh, dude, it's rampant. I mean, that's the whole purpose of this conversation. I actually used to do it myself. Yeah. So, I mean, I'm talking out of experience. I used to literally rob and, you know, just rob myself every single day, go buy a new car that I didn't need years ago. And I'm like, what am I doing? It's such amateur hour. It really is.
Right. Right. Mm-hmm. When was it that you started to, you know, you run your own mastermind. You're a part of, you know, a high level mastermind. When did you start kind of changing the way you think and just kind of realizing, like, when did you start getting wiser as an entrepreneur? Is it through the power of mastermind and associations? Was it a coach, a mentor? I'm just kind of trying to, you know, dissect your brain here a little bit and your experience and kind of like peek into when did you start to mature as an entrepreneur, as a business owner?
Well, dude, I don't think I'm matured yet at all. Honestly, I'm not even joking. I think for me, where I'm at right now, I think I'm getting more mature. I just don't know. It's kind of interesting. Let me backtrack. So like in basketball, like picture Michael Jordan, right? He could get to a certain point and be the best in the game. And once you get to a certain age, you start going downhill, right? Mm-hmm. What's amazing about an entrepreneur, once we get to a certain level, we can always go to another level. Until we die, literally. So for me, it's like I look at that and I start thinking like I've not even scratched the surface of where I'll be and where I can be. I feel like I'm just getting started. I'm learning something new every day. But for me, it was like young. I honestly, knock on wood, I hit it off young, thinking like, you know, I saw all these guys at when I was 22, 23 years old. Keep in mind, I started in 96. So that would be like 2000. I was 18 years old. So 2001-ish. I started like seeing the same guys having the same problems. They're making a lot of money, but they're always broke. I'm like, wait a minute, what are they? And they're all at real estate events, right? Talking about this stuff. They're always reinventing themselves every day in the real estate business. But they're reinventing a new strategy. They're not reinventing themselves as a person and as a business. So I just kind of looked at it and said, I want to be a business owner, not a real estate investor. And real estate was my product, just like a cup would be or a cup of glass or whatever. So right. I honestly started reading business books and going to business meetings and courses and hiring business coaches. No one related to real estate ever. Ever was real estate. A lot of these guys, what's interesting enough is a lot of these guys that I would hire owned a lot of real estate. So they kind of understood what I was doing. They just went at it the reverse approach, made a bunch of money in business, bought a lot of real estate. Now it's kind of just like on autopilot.
Yeah, that's awesome. Let me tell you, that's one of the things I appreciated about your event when I went. At this point, it's probably about a year and a half or so ago, that, you know, I thought it was going to be a very real estate focused type event. And it was different from the perspective is there was more talk about just how to be a leader, how to like run the business and just the mindset. And you know, we talked about KPIs and some of these things that, you know, sometimes you go to most of the time you go to like a real estate event or whatever, and it's, hey, what direct mail piece is working? Or, hey, what's this new inbound lead gen strategy? Or, which is great. That's all fine. I'm not poo-pooing that, but this was different. Right. And so I'm trying to just kind of give people a glimpse as to like what some of the conversations you and I have had at these events and then privately as well, because I think that's the kind of stuff and the conversation that really moves the needle for people.
Well, here's the thing is, I mean, appreciate that, Alex, because, you know, I'm doing my last deal-a-thon in June, but what the conversations all of us should be having, what drives me bananas and why deal-a-thon even exists is literally, I swear to you on my life, I have not looked at a HUD statement in many, many, many years. So when I have people call me or talk to me or meet me in a real estate environment of some sort, they're like, man, I'm trying to get this, knock this down $100 here or there. I'm like, dude, you're focusing on pennies. Like literally, like you're beating up a team member, i.e. your title company as a team member if you're a real business person, and you're trying to have them charge less for doing quality work. Why would you ever do that? You wouldn't do it. So why would you want someone else to do it?
Yeah.
And we're talking peanuts, $100, but you're getting ready to clock a $40,000 assignment fee or a deal, or like, give me a break. So what happens is, I don't think people understand mental fatigue in commerce. Like, they're doing mental gymnastics all day long on petty shit. It's like, oh, dude, I'm saving $100 here. I got to beat this person up here. Oh, you know, I got to call this person and, you know, follow up and blah, blah, blah. So they're looking at all these micro environments that are, it's our old school reels that start playing. right? What got us to where we're at is not going to get us to where we want to go. If you're trying to make real millions of dollars and build a real business, you'll never, ever, ever get super wealthy and relaxed and have an amazing life if you act like that. It's total amateur hour, and it's like hurts so many people around you. You, your family, your colleagues, it's a very weird environment. I used to do the same stupid stuff. Like, I'd be fighting a title company over $35. And I'm like, dude, like, what am I doing? Like, one day I just woke up, I'm like, what am I thinking? I just made 40 grand and I'm fighting them over $35. Is that, like, give me a break. Send them a $100 gift card.
Yeah. So, dude, I chuckle because I've been there too. Like, I've done that too. And I feel guilty even admitting this, but yeah, I remember at one point we switched title companies and their settlement fee was a couple $100 more, but they just were an awesome title company. And initially I was like, man, do I, you know, a couple hundred, like it's, and then I remembered your kind of voice in my ear from like that first deal I thought I went to about a year and a half ago. It's one of the things you said was figure out how to pay people more, not pay people less. And initially I was taken back. I'm like, what the hell is this dude talking about? What do you mean? Like, figure out how to pay people more, you know, like, don't you want to manage your expenses? But what you're really saying is pay for quality work. You know what I mean? It's like, don't try to nickel and dime partners, vendors. Focus on building relationships. And if they're adding value, just focus on growing your business and your bottom line, not trying to save a penny here or there, you know?
Yeah, I do. Like, yeah, no, I mean, 100%. So here's, like, just take that a step deeper too, because everyone here wants leads, right? So it's all the same thing. Like, everyone out here is trying to pay less for leads. Listen, we all are. But at the end of the day, like, I see people promoting, get leads for 12 cents, blah, 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 blah. I'm like, dude, like, the good news is that's going on for a company like me, because I'm out there asking, how much can I pay for a lead? Mm. Not how little can I get a lead for? Listen, it sounds similar, and it is very similar, but the context of the question is massively different. Result-driven, focus-driven on the goal, not the obstacle. And all of a sudden, you wake up, I can outspend any competitor because, one, I would know my KPIs, and two, I'm thinking of how can I spend more, not how can I spend less.
Yeah.
Game changers, guys. Game changers. I see it everywhere, Alex.
Yeah. And this basically, like, you to kind of put a bow on this part of the conversation, Mark, it's you're talking about people kind of majoring in minor things, right? I mean, one of the things you mentioned before we started recording here is that, you know, people make big decisions based on like these micro things that just don't matter.
Right, right. Yeah. I mean, you know, like, for example, private money, right? Everyone's always talking about private money. I was talking with a guy recently. He's like, dude, 15%, I could never pay that. And I was like, wait a minute. You're getting ready to make 100 grand on the deal. You're worried about 15% per annum, by the way. It's not even per minute, per month, per hour. And you could take that same money and make many, many hundreds of thousands, if not millions of dollars with that same money. Yeah. And you're worried about 15%. And, you know, I had to reframe it for him. And then all of a sudden he hung up the call. He's like, dude, you're right. Like, what am I thinking? But this has been going on for 10 years in his life because he's like, man, I can go to the bank and get a loan. Cool. Then why haven't you? Right? Like, because you can't get a loan. That's why. It's simple as that. Right. So, you know, private money and, you know, 10%, 12%, whatever the number is, if it makes sense on the grand scheme of things, you don't have to keep it forever. You don't have to make it make sense every single deal. But if it makes sense, it makes sense. But you got to step back and take the emotion out and look at the real picture. And Alex, so many people are really holding themselves back on this stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it boils down to just understanding the value and not looking at everything as a damn cost or an expense, but like, you know, how can you do more quicker, faster, bigger, better? And by the way, I throw myself into that category at times and I have to kind of check myself and say, hey, it's not about that. Focus on the bigger picture really is what you're saying, you know?
Yeah, I mean, dude, how many deals in real estate investing specifically, how many deals require speed, right? As you know, especially in your markets, Alex, like, I mean, it's all about speed and execution.
Oh, yeah.
And if you're sitting here nickel and diming and trying to get money at 8% because you read a book or an email or saw a Facebook post, someone saying, I got 8% money, and they never do, they're just probably full of shit. But how, like, if you're paying someone 15% and you can pick up the phone, and Alex, you and I have these relationships where we could text someone and not even pick up the phone and call them, but text them and say, yo, we need 250 on a deal, blah, blah, blah. Here's the terms. It's wired
in minutes. Yep.
It's wired in minutes. They're not like, let me call my lawyer. You call your lawyer. Let me see your paperwork. Let me see the deal. Let me see the appraisal. Let me see that. Like, it's literally nanoseconds. The peace of mind and the opportunity cost, drastically outweighs the percentage points. Drastically. Absolutely. And what's cool about that is when you're borrowing money from guys like that, guess what? They have friends that have money. And guess what? Now all of a sudden, if you want private money, start acting like a real investor. Stop acting like an amateur trying to figure out how to get it cheaper and start focusing on what it can produce for everybody. Yeah. That's really the game changer for me, man.
Dude, that's so powerful, man. Man, I want to kind of transition here on this last piece because, dude, I've told you this before, but I could talk to you for hours, man. But I want to talk to you about, you know, more specifically the book, why you're doing it. You know, we talked about it being a legacy piece at the beginning. We right. talked about, you know, your son who's going to be turning 3 here pretty soon. We've just covered like the tip of the iceberg as far as like all the things that Mark has been putting into this book. And if you've been watching him on social media, if you're not, we'll include the links to it in the show notes to his Facebook and his Instagram. But dude is up at 5 a.m. on Saturdays, sometimes Sundays, just putting in the time, you know, writing this book. This is going to be his 9th book. He doesn't have to do this. But it's about, there's a charity component to it. And there's also, it's a legacy, you know, thing for his son. Mark, can you talk about, because this is something that's just near and dear to my heart, is giving back, contributing, charity. We're both involved in different charity functions. Sure. Talk a little bit about that. And then we'll tell people, you know, when the book is getting released, how they can get it. And I know you have a freebie for them as well, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, first and foremost, I'm going to get rich by writing a book that I've never done anything with. No, I'm just joking. first of all, I've only met like 2 people that get rich writing a book, and they didn't get rich writing the book. They got rich with what they did with the book after writing it.
Yep.
So, a whole different story. But yeah, man, for me, it's like as an entrepreneur, it's really opened up like, I could sit with my buddies like Alex and we can talk and like pinch ourselves and like, dude, this is our life. We can wake up when we want. We can do what we want. We can do it with who we want. We can buy what we want. And there comes a point when it's not about those wanting to like buy a new car or new house and all that stuff. That's fun sometimes. But like, it's really having this lifestyle, and the entrepreneurial lifestyle has allowed me to do that. So I just started asking myself, like, you know, coming from all these deal-a-thons, Alex, is like the 10-minute business owner. Like, how am I able to hang out with my son every day and do the things I want, not because I have to, because I want to. And I love getting up at 5 a.m. I might not love it, but I love doing it because the purpose is bigger than the process.
There you go.
And getting there, because 100% of the net profits go to charity, as all of my books have. And this particular book is actually going to the Caring House Project Foundation, the Addison Quinn Foundation, and the Lorraine Boys and Girls Club. So touching, you know, the Haitian marketplace, you know, way low income, crazy, crazy poor over there, which is insane. I've been over there before. And then the wounded veterans, as well as children. And just writing the book allows me to kind of slow down and collect my thoughts on what we're doing and realize where I need help at. Right. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of like therapy session for me too, because I'm reading it. I'm like, man, I really need to improve here. I need to get better here. I need to get stronger here. And really just want to share my insights of what's allowed me to travel the world for 7 years, be able to do what we get to do. And it's not like a step-by-step manual that's going to get you to the top doing nothing. It's, you know, 10-minute business owner could be a little skewed. If you're looking at it, trying to figure out like, oh, I'm going to do nothing and work 10 minutes a day and get rich. That's not what this is about. Mm-hmm. It's really about, you know, thinking bigger and asking better questions and really tightening up the ship to focus on growth. But legacy, man, for me, it's like, you know, my son, as I get older, I'll be 40 on June 19th when the book comes out, is I want to be able to hand, like, he could have a collection of books. How cool will it be, Alex, when our kids can have a collection of what we've accomplished, your podcast shows, my books or whatever. Yeah. And they could sit there and say, holy cow, I get why Dad was in that office at 5 a.m. He doesn't even know I'm in there because he's sleeping. And, you know, how is all this life possible with all these cool things and, you know, whatever. So to me, it's really a work ethic thing. I want to teach him that. Mm-hmm. Which is powerful, man. So I'm excited for it. I really think it's a game changer. I'm going to write a bunch more, I'm sure.
I love it, man. Well, you know, I support you 100% in everything you do. And this being just the latest example, it's the main reason I wanted to have you on. I want to, guys, I'm, you know, this is not even a shameless plug. It's just a plug. Like, you know, I support, Mark's a friend. I support him 1,000%. And I want to get behind this, you know, put, put this book in as many people's hands as possible, not just from the perspective that the content can just really change the way you think and operate your business, but the charity component to this. You know, 100% of these proceeds are going to charity. Mark doesn't make a cent off of this, and it's just his way of giving back and also leaving something really, really cool for his son when his son gets older. So, brother, I know you said that the book is being released on what, June 19th, which is also your 40th birthday?
June 19th, 2018 at 12 noon Eastern Standard Time. Yep, is when it gets launched. So that will be the big 4-0.
Okay, beautiful, man. Beautiful. So we'll include the link in the show notes, but I remember you told me before that you have we can give away a free chapter, maybe even a few videos that you have.
Yeah, absolutely. I want to give, so what I'd like to do is have everyone get over to 10minutebusinessowner.com/Alex. And that's 10minutebusinessowner.com/Alex. And Alex, what I've done is I got them a free chapter of the book, plus a couple videos from the author, me, to talk to them about how the chapters come about, what it can do for them, really benefit driven for the reader and viewer. Mm-hmm. And as a bonus for your group and to give back. And then, you know, if it makes a big impact and it makes sense to get all chapters, I would love for you to gain access to the book. It's a game changer.
Very cool, guys. Very cool. Well, hey, listen, on top of that, you know, one thing I did want to mention, I talked to you guys about the fact that about a year and a half ago, I went to one of Mark's deal-a-thons. It made a big impact on me at that time. At that time, I was going through some challenges within the business. I remember having a pretty transparent, frank conversation with Mark. And, you know, immediately after going to that, I just from the perspective of thinking different, the mindset shift really allowed me to move the business in the right direction and really accomplish some big things that year. You're doing your last one. I know we weren't really, the purpose here is to talk about the book and, you know, making sure that you get it, supporting the charity component. And hopefully you've gotten a lot of value and nuggets out of just this podcast, what we've talked about. Like I said, it's just the tip of the iceberg. So definitely pick up the book, but Mark's actually doing his last deal-a-thon. You're retiring from the deal-a-thon. So you want to spend maybe a quick minute or two talking about that in case anybody has any interest in going?
Yeah, man, I'd love to. I appreciate it. Guys, you know, I don't teach people how to what to look at a contract and what the contract says and why a motivated seller will sell to you. My ideal client is the person that's doing a deal here and there, trying to figure out how to get to the next level, that's frustrated, overwhelmed, confused, by getting into a room full of people where one, we're leading, you know, we're there to help, we're there to support. It's a non-judgmental group. We all have problems. Everyone in that room knows they have problems, which is a very powerful thing. The investment's very small. Actually, this one's $3,000. It's going to be a little bit bigger because it is a birthday party bash and everything else on top of it. But I want guys and gals that are serious about taking the game to the next level. And Alex, I think you know this, I genuinely care about this process, and, you know, it's to the extent to a fault, honestly, sometimes. So I want people that want to step up to, you know, to do the right thing for themselves, their family. This is not a real estate seminar in any way, shape, or form. There's no upsells, cross sells, and all that fun, crazy stuff. This is very direct, you know, tell you what you need to hear and sometimes not what you want to hear, to give you, you know, to allow you to live the life you want. And I'd leave you with this question is, like, if you're sitting here, like, and you have 1 year to live, you go to the doctor and they say, hey, you got 1 year to live, would you be doing what you're doing now?
Wow.
Bouncing around, you know, chasing shiny objects and all that stuff. My goal at the deal-a-thon is that within 1 year, how do we drastically change? It's a pivot event. I look at it as a pivotal moment for future growth. And, you know, really oftentimes it's about subtraction for multiplication. Take off the junk off your plate. Alex, one of the best ways to get rid of projects or to complete a project is to get rid of it. So, you know, sometimes guys are chasing 14 rabbits to catch zero. And that's very frustrating and tacking on us at most. So the deal-a-thon, last one, man, it's going to, you know, I have a lot of, you know, a lot of messages going back and forth. I talk to every single person on the phone privately just to make sure it's a good fit. If it fits for them, I'd love for you guys to reach out. And again, they can get over to 10minutebusinessowner.com/Alex, and I'll put a little link there. I didn't plan on doing that, but we can have my guy throw a link on there to connect with me and have a conversation.
Beautiful, beautiful. And guys, you know, I encourage and just open myself up to, if you guys want to reach out to me and you want to ask me any questions, you know, I support Mark. I already told you that. I stand behind, you know, everything he puts out, from the deal-a-thon to this book. So if you guys have any questions, you just want to kind of hear my experience in attending. And, you know, again, I've gotten to know Mark over the last year and a half, so I'm biased, but you know, he's made a big impact on, you know, my life, the way I think, and it's had a trickle down effect to my business as well. So, Mark, I appreciate it, guys. So yeah, head over to 10minutebusinessowner.com/Alex. And, yeah, just reach out to me on social media if you guys want to have a quick conversation, ask me any questions about the event. And Mark, I'm trying to work out some travel dates on my end with my family to see if I can be out there, man. I don't want to miss your 40th. So
awesome, man. I appreciate it. That's awesome. I look forward to seeing you guys. Thanks for having me too, Alex. Thank you guys. Thanks for being here.
Absolutely, guys. All right. So if you have any questions, just reach out, and I appreciate you taking the time to tune in, guys. You know, speed of implementation. I'll kind of leave you with this one last thing. What's that one thing that you can grab, something that Mark said that you can just take and just drive it forward, you know, move it forward. And I think if you're consistent with the right types of action and you got that focus, you're going to be able to move the needle in your business and just, you know, progress, not perfection. So, I'll leave you guys with that. And Mark, I appreciate you, buddy. I know I'll see you soon. Definitely encourage you guys to pick up the books. I'm going to pick up several and kind of use them as, I'll be gifting those books to people. So I'm looking forward to June 19th when the book gets released. And Mark, that's all we got, man.
Awesome, man. Thank you again, man. Appreciate you guys' support. And the charities will be very pleased. So thank you again, guys. Thanks, Alex.
Awesome. Thanks, guys. We'll catch you soon.
That's all for this episode of the Flip Empire Show. But we have you covered with even more expertise and resources on our website. Text EMPIRE to 67076 or head over to flipempire.com to join the newsletter and gain free instant access to our video module training course called 5 Ways to Scale Your Real Estate Wholesaling Business to 6 Figures in 6 Months or Less. For more interviews, strategies, and insights for the smart real estate investor, we'll catch you next time here on the Flip Empire Show.